Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Luke chapter 24. We are in a series of messages dealing with the idea of roads, meaning just metaphorically where Jesus would use or God would use the idea of a road to teach us something. You know, there are many on the road to destruction, Jesus would say, and then there's, you know, the righteous path and those kinds of things. And throughout the Bible's always talking about roads. And we're looking at some passages in Luke that deal with either the idea of a road that we can learn a lesson from that God has in mind, or it happened on a road. And as I've said, every week, we're all on a journey, we're all on a road, we're all traveling somewhere, and once a week, or ever how often you're here, our roads intersect, and they come together, and as a group of people who are trying to follow Jesus, you know, he's leading us down, you know, our own individual path, meaning, you know, he's got some things he wants you to do and to experience and to learn, and it's going to be different than mine. And so we're all made uniquely, we're all made differently, and we all have the same general purpose, but there's some specific things that God wants you to do that only you can do. I mean, you're designed for it, you're shaped for it. You know, he gave you a spiritual gift. He gave you heart and passion for certain things, certain abilities, a certain personality. You've gone through certain experiences. You put all that stuff together, and you are uniquely designed as a tool. The Bible describes this. You are a tool in the hand of God that he has designed uniquely to do some things that only you can do. I can't do it. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Only you can do it. Now, with that said, take your Bibles and look at Luke 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Remember, last week we started this thing, and there's like these seven principles we're going to look at on how people learn the truth, how they grow in the truth. And we looked at the first two last week, okay? So, but we're going to review those. So if you weren't here last week, we're going to hit those real quick, and they're going to move right into three. But let's look at the passage that we're taking a glance at today. Verse 13, Luke 24, 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces, and then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. You know, where in the world have you been, man?" "What things?" Jesus asked, knowing exactly what was been going on. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. Notice that they're not reporting that he resurrected. Okay, that's significant. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. And it's like, well, you know, that's what they're saying, but, you know, we don't know. You know. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. And Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it is getting late." And so he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Now, okay, there's a lot going on there. And what I want us to do this morning is just simply take a look at how these guys went from having some of the truth but not all of it, and the journey they went through with this, with Jesus, and how they came to this full understanding of what had just taken place with the resurrection and who Jesus really was. Because the principles that we see that's happening with them happens with all truth, whether it's regardless of what the Bible's talking about, whether it's the resurrection of Jesus, whether it's a return of Jesus, whether it's heaven or hell or marriage or money or emotions or relationships, no matter what the Bible's talking about, we have some truth. We don't have it all, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, and we have to fill in the gaps, and sometimes we fill in the gaps with wrong stuff. And Jesus comes along as we study the Word, and he begins to correct us, and he works us to the point where we go, "Oh, I get it now." And so that's what we're going to take a look at, how people learn the truth, how you learn the truth. So number one, now the first two points of review, real quick. Number one, learning the truth starts with a need. For these two men, their need showed up in the form of disappointment and disbelief. Now, according to verse 21, they had hoped Jesus was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. Now, they had hoped the Messiah would come and deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire and restore Israel's glory and all this kind of stuff, and that didn't happen. And so, they were disappointed, and that their need for understanding showed up in the disappointment. But there was some disbelief there, because as you continue reading, they obviously aren't convinced about the resurrection yet. They're not sure if that's real yet. Okay, something's going on where they don't quite understand it. And then there was a disbelief about that. And so we all start there. We all start off learning the truth starts with a need. There's something going on in your life. It may have something to do with your marriage. And a lot of times some people, they'll start seeking the truth about how to function as a couple when things are going bad, when disappointment kicks in or disbelief kicks in about their marriage, or some regret or something else going on, or a sin or a failure that's damaged the marriage, and they'll try to mend it all back together. And that's always good to try to work on it. But whether it's, again, whether it's marriage, your finances, whatever it is, your search and learning for the truth about it always begins with a need, okay? So we all start there. Secondly, learning the truth requires teaching. So in verses 25 through 27, again, we looked at this great detail last week. And we saw that really, when you look at this, you see four things that Jesus is doing with them to help them learn and to grow. He has given them some good teaching. And so, like the two men, we will need to be corrected, and we looked at that last time, shown where we are wrong. There are some things that you and I believe that we think are true. There are some things in your life you think is true about you, about God, about church, about the people around you, about relationships. That's not true. It's unhealthy. But right now, you don't know that, okay? And so Jesus is going to come along in your life, and he's going to show you where you're wrong, where I'm wrong on that. And then it moves into instruction. This is where Jesus will teach you what is true. Okay, here's where you're wrong. Now I'm going to show you what is true. But then he's going to help you to understand it. In other words, this is what it means. Here's the information you need, but here's what it means in your life. It means on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And then that moves into application. And here's what you're going to do with it. Here's what you're going to say to your spouse. Here's what you're going to say to your children. Here's how you're going to respond to that problem, and it gets very deep in the application. So we unpacked all of that last time. Now, number three, here we go. Learning the truth takes time. Now, we're not told how long this journey traveling really took them. And, it's outside of Jerusalem, and they're walking, and it's a few miles at least. And we're not sure how fast they're walking and all that kind of stuff. So they are spending time with Jesus, okay? Now, for some people, they will learn things quick because they already have some truth. Now, these two guys, it's obviously they already knew a little bit. because Jesus was able to take them through the Old Testament, and they were familiar with it, you know, and they were explaining some things, and they were looking for a Messiah, and so they were kind of already there spiritually, you know, and had some understanding. So there was already some truth there. And Jesus was just simply adding truth to what they already knew to give some explanation. So I brought in my high-class ladder to demonstrate something. Jeff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand on the top of it, do a backflip, somersault, and land perfectly. Yes. Go ahead and call 911 because it show ain't going to work. And get this on. Yeah, get this on. This is going viral today. Crazy preacher. Okay. All right, here's what we're doing. Now, Ben, I know I am going to go up on the ladder a little bit, so I don't want you to get nervous. Okay, because Ben has some height issues, you know what I'm saying? All right. Okay, here we go. When you were born, you're born into a family. You picked up some things that were true and not true. You don't know what those things are yet. Along the way, you begin to realize, wow, that was a bad habit I picked up. That's not the right way to handle that. Or, you know, oh, that was a good way to handle that. And you just from your family members and friends. And then you somewhere along the way, you may have become a believer and you realize that, wow, you know, because, you know, you watch way too much science fiction movies, okay? You believe certain things were real and that's how the real world functions. And you thought cartoon people were real and all that kind of stuff. And so you grew up and you decided, you know, that's not true. And God was just maturing you. But here's how this whole theology and truth works. You start at a point, wherever you are, you start with what you know. I'm not saying it's true or not. You just know something. You believe whatever it is true. And as you begin growing spiritually, and you're getting into the Word, and God begins to talk to you, and you're listening to good Bible teaching, you're studying the Word, you're going to life groups, and over time, you know, what you understood begins to be molded and shaped. What happens is you start with the truth you have, you get some correction, you gain some understanding, you know, begin to apply it, and then what happens is you're able to move up a level in your understanding and knowledge, okay? But here's the thing, you cannot... In some truths, you cannot move up until you've got some right truth already underneath you, because there's a stair step method. There's some truth, like this truth here, will never make sense until you get this truth under your belt. Does that make sense? For example, let's do something easy. You're never going to fully understand salvation until you understand, wow, I am a sinner. Okay? And then you go, but you know what? Jesus came to die for my sins. You got to get that down, okay? And then you go, you know what? The only way I can receive the salvation is through receiving him. Am I making anybody nervous yet? Okay, I'm making myself nervous. Okay, so I'm not going to go any further on this flimsy thing. But you understand what's happening here, okay? And there are lots of truths out in the Bible that are confusing to believers. And this is why there's always, in churches and other believers, there's a lot of different opinions about certain things, because, you know, God's truth is God's truth. And if we're studying the Scripture, there are certain beliefs that some people are holding that they haven't climbed all the way up the ladder yet. They haven't grown yet on some things, and this is a constant process. And as you learn more about what the Bible says about being a family, what the Bible says about being a family, about being a husband, about being a wife, about being a parent, and those kinds of things, you begin to climb up the ladder of your theology, of your belief, and you become more solid, and you go up the level of maturity. Now, does that make sense? So that's what's happening with these guys. They already had something. They already had some knowledge of the Messiah. They already had some knowledge of things. And Jesus comes along, and he's journeying beside them, and he's just talking to them, and he's going to take them through the Scripture over time. He says, let me show you this, and then let me show you that, and now let me show you this. And as he was doing that, their hearts were burning, and they were getting excited, and things were becoming clear to them. But it was a process that he had to take them through. Now, there's something going on in your life right now that God is taking you through. It's a process. You don't know everything you need to know right now. But he's bringing you along. He's journeying with you. He's teaching you things, but you're going to have to be in his word to learn the stuff. And he's going to teach you some things. And as you learn the truth, you'll be able to apply it to your situation, and you'll find yourself succeeding in his eyes more and more. I'm not saying everything's going to work out the way you want it. What I'm saying is that you're going to find yourself succeeding in his will more and more because you're applying his truth to your life. Now, does that make sense too? Okay. So this is what's happening to those guys, and this is what is happening to you. Now, number four, learning the truth involves a desire. There are two indications that there was a great desire to learn more. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late, so he went home with them. Now, here's what's happening here. They were really into what Jesus was saying. It was making sense to them. The dots were connecting as he was explaining all this stuff. And they were having these aha moments one after another. And I mean, this is having the best spiritual tutor. You ever been in a class and the teacher's explaining something and you're going, man, I don't get it. You know, you're in that math class. And she's doing all that stuff on the board, and I'm just going, you know, I read the book, I don't get it. Well, then you find somebody who can help you, maybe even one-on-one with the teacher or somebody else, and they just show you, and it's like in 5 minutes, you go, oh, yeah, I get it. How did I not see that? You ever had that moment like that in school? You know, so here's what's happening with them. They are with a master tutor. They're with a master teacher, Jesus himself, you know, the word, you know, incarnate, the word in flesh. And they're walking with him. And he is explaining to them exactly using the words that they need to hear. He understands their heart. He understands where they are. He is a perfect teacher. And he is bringing them along. And it is happening quick. Bam, 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 bam. And their heart is on fire as they're hearing this stuff. It's all making sense. And now, this is not going to happen for you all the time, but you're going to have those moments at church and in your life group and in your private time in the Word where you're studying the Word and the dots are just going to connect. And you're just going to go, dude, how in the world did I miss? I get that now. That makes so much more sense. You know, those things are going to happen. Well, that's what's happening with these guys, but it's happening on a rapid pace. For them because of what Jesus is doing there. Now, this word begged, and remember, we're talking about a desire here. This word begged, in some translations, it's the word urged, means to use force. Now, this doesn't mean they pinned Jesus to the ground and drug him back home. No, the force idea here is it's like, you know, you're trying to, you know, you're moving on, and you, have you ever tried to leave somebody's house and they just won't let you go? And you just kind of keep, you know, inching your way to the door. Oh, please don't go. No, you just need to stay. Oh, it's too early. You don't need to go. We got more food. Oh, this movie's not over. You need to stay here. We can play a game. We can stay till up till 1 a.m, you know. And you're just thinking, I've got to get out of here, you know. I'm not saying Jesus is trying to get out. But now this is my thought on this, okay. You know, understand this is just how I'm seeing this. I think Jesus is testing them a little bit. He knows they need more, but he also wants them to express a desire that they need more. I think there are times where when you find a good church that you're a part of, or you're a part of a life group, or you're doing your daily time in the Word, and I think there are times where you're going to make a decision, am I going to keep at this or am I going to quit? How much do I really want to know? How much more do I want to know? And I'm not saying you extend your time, your quiet time, or we go from a one-hour church to 3 hours. Okay? Yeah, no, ain't going to happen. But what I'm saying is that you're going to have a desire to where, you know what, God, I'm saying this, and you're looking forward to learning more the next day, the next week, and you are listening with a desire to learn. Because when you go into any situation, not just the Bible, But when you go into any, there's a universal principle God has just given into everybody. If you go into any class and you sit down and you have a desire to learn that thing, you want to learn that thing, you're going to learn it. I mean, you're in this thing. You're not really depending on the teacher to teach you, because if you end up with a bad teacher, there are some out there, I'm sure. If you end up with a teacher that, you know, you're going to find a way to learn that material, because your desire is driven that way. You're going to do this thing. And so these guys, they were there. Man, their hearts were on fire. They were excited about what they were learning. They had a desire. So they begged Jesus to stay, and he did. Now, number five. Learning the truth requires a divine intervention. Now, at this point, I've really been talking a lot about your role in this whole spiritual journey, and there is your part, but I want to tell you, it is true. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And that is true for your own spiritual growth. God's going to have to intervene in your life. I mean, you're going to have to make some decisions about being in the Word. You're going to have to make some decisions about, you know, being faithful in life group or being faithful at church and those kinds of things. But you're going to have to place yourself in environments to where you can receive from the Word of God. But at those moments, God's going to have to intervene in some way. Let me show you this. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Well, they didn't open their eyes themselves. If you jump down to verse 45, this is where the disciples are talking about all this, these two guys. And verse 45 says this. They're explaining what happened, their encounter with Jesus, to the disciples when they went back to Jerusalem. He says, the Bible says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, everybody there, Jesus is opening their minds to understand what's going on. And so what you have happening here is you've got two statements where God is somehow opening people's eyes to understand the truth. Now, I wish we had time to unpack more about what I'm about to say, but this is crucial. So I'm just going to introduce it, and then you're just going to have to go wrestle with it. God is not going to teach you everything in the Bible. Not going to happen. You can't understand everything in the Bible. Your life is not long enough to understand everything in the Bible. What's going to happen is this. God has designed you uniquely. You have a purpose. You have a ministry. You've got a life that he is coordinating, and he's using you in that life. And as you're in the Word, he is going to intervene, and he's going to open your eyes to see the things you need to understand and know. Does that make sense? And as you're studying the Word, you know, this is why you're talking to somebody, and you can have five people sitting around a group, and man, this one truth just really, man, it just jumps off the page at, you know, Joe over here, but, you know, Susie over here, it doesn't mean a thing to her at this point. Well, that's interesting. I'm glad that's good for you, Joe. But however, because God is speaking to Joe about something regarding that truth that he's going to need either that week, that day, you know, next week, and God's building his truth upon truth in Joe's life so he can understand something bigger later on, because he's going to need that information, that truth in his life, in his situation to deal with whatever he's got to deal with. Now, a lot of the truths that we learn will overlap and they'll be very similar, but there's going to be some things that he's just going to intervene just for you because you need to know it. So he steps in, and God's opening their eyes. Now, I want you to listen to this. Paul comments about this concept of God opening eyes and understanding the Word. You can go ahead and study the Word of God until you're blue in the face, but again, unless the Holy Spirit guides you and opens this thing up for you, it's going to be frustrating for you. So listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul's talking about this concept of God opening our understanding. He says this. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now listen. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That's heavy. The Spirit of God's got to work in your life, and you've got to be listening to the Spirit of God, because there are certain things in the Word that the Spirit of God is just going to be one of those times where your heart's going to burn. It's all, the dots are going to connect. It's all going to come together, and you're going to go, ooh, that's good, you know. God's talking to you. Now, number six. Again, we're talking about how people learn the truth. Number six, learning the truth is a process. Now, I've already mentioned this, but I want to do some detail here. The process involves three things. This process includes your initiative. Again, remember in verse 28, they begged him to study. You know, the Bible talks about the psalmist in Psalms. He says, open my eyes that I may see some wonderful things in your truth, in your word. And you're going to need to ask God, God, help me to understand. You know, open my eyes that I may see. Help me to connect the dots on whatever it is that you want me to connect the dots on. You're going to have to take the initiative. That also means you're going to need to take the initiative to open the Bible and to read it and to study it, to participate in life groups and those kinds of things. The process also includes a place. You need to have a place where you just get along with God. And again, at the end of verse 29, we're told that Jesus went home with them. Now, obviously, it first of all started with him walking along the road, you know, and then, you know, they asked him to come home, and then they're sitting around and they're talking, and he's sharing some more things, and then they recognize who he is, and, you know, their spiritual growth and their understanding is happening. They're beginning to see things, you know, because God's now intervening in some things. It's becoming a lot more clear to them, and on it goes. But here's the thing. They did invite Jesus to stay at their place. And you're going to have that place where you and Jesus just sit down and talk. And that talk means you're going to pray. You're also just going to hear from him in his word, and to where, you know, you shut the TV off, you just shut the, you know, life down, and you just spend some time with him. And he wants to talk to you. He's going to talk to you. Those aha moments are going to happen, okay? So don't be surprised that when you start getting into the word and you're going, wow, you know, that's pretty good stuff. Now, I want to say this to you. If you're going through this and you're starting and you're struggling with it, don't be afraid to ask. Okay, discipleship, I mean, it just takes time. I mean, you know, for some of y'all, you know, the spiritual stages. You may be a believer, but the Bible calls some a spiritual infant, which means it's going to be hard for you to feed yourself. It's going to be hard for you to understand the word at first. And you know, the Spirit of God is going to help you, but usually the Spirit of God also uses other believers who are more mature to help you get stuff from the word and help you to grow. And so don't be afraid to ask for help. If you have the desire and you want to grow and you're trying to figure it all out, man, we want to help you. This process also includes an event. Verse 32, we read, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Now, there are going to be those events in your life. It doesn't happen all the time. You're not going to sit down and have a quiet time, you know, spend some time in the Word. You're not going to go to your life group all the time, and you're not going to come to, you know, church all the time and just sit there, you know, in your life group by yourself or at church and just have your heart burning all the time thinking, wow, that's awesome. As I'm a preacher, I would love for every time I stand up here, you guys just walk out like, dude, that was like the best ever. Man, I would love for it. Like, you know, you guys say, Jeff, every time you just start talking, man, my heart just burns. I don't mean like, you know, heart burn. But you understand what because in the real world, you know, it's just not going to happen all the time. But there are going to be those times in your life to where you're going to be at an event. And an event could be, again, very private. It's just your time alone with God. Or it's in a life group. Or it's something else. It's here, somewhere else. You know, and you are going to know God is dealing with you. And that, you know, sometimes we use words like conviction or encouragement or hope, and there's something in our heart that is happening, and something's moving inside of us, and we begin to think, man, thank you, God. I needed that today, you know. And those times are going to have different levels of intensity. So, you know, just because, you know, you don't have that burning conviction or that deep thing happening all the time, it doesn't mean God has given up on you. It's just that your time's coming. Just stay faithful. He's going to talk to you. All right. Number 7, learning the truth generates a response. When you have all the stuff we've been talking about happening in your life, you got some truth, Jesus shows up, he's teaching you, you're learning, you're having aha moments, your heart's on fire, man, the dots are connecting, you're getting excited, the conviction's happening. You know, you sense there's a transformational mindset happening in you. There is a change. You're not sure what it is, but you know something is going on, and you're not going to be the same. And what happens is that when those moments begin to happening, those paradigm shift moments, those fork in the roads where you make a decision that changes your life for the better because you're following Jesus on this decision, and it's the first time you've decided to do what Jesus wanted you to do in this regard, and you're all in, you're committed, because all the dots have come together. All the things are connecting, it's making sense, and you're following him, and you're fired up about it. There is going to be a response out of that. And first of all, you're going to experience an enlightenment. Part of the response is enlightenment. Now, when I say enlightenment, that sounds new agey or something, or spiritualist kind of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. Things will become more clear to you, and you will have insight into something that was a mystery to you. You're going to be enlightened. In verse 31, we are told again that their eyes were open. You're just going to have those moments in your life where that's going to happen. And that's good, all right? That's a response to this truth. You will also experience encouragement. Truth is rarely discovered alone. It happens by yourself, you know, when you're studying the Word. But I find that usually the real significant ones that are life transformational usually occur with others who God is using to shape and mold what God is doing in my life, asking the tough questions, the difficult questions. So when I look back on my life and I'm wrestling with something and I'm having a conversation with someone about something I think God is teaching me, and what I've discovered is that they will challenge me and they'll say, yeah, but Jeff, what is that? How does that line up with this scripture over here? And how does that line up with that? And we're going back and forth, and God is sharpening me. You know, the Bible says, as one man sharpens another, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I'm becoming sharper because of it. And so these two guys, they were able to have this conversation with Jesus. Take a look at verse 32 again. It said, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? For them, it was encouraging that, hey, it wasn't just me, it was both of us. God was doing something with both of us here. And they are affirming one another, and they're encouraging one another as they're telling the story about what happened. And so this as you discover truth, you're going to find that others are on the similar journey or have gone through it, and they've discovered the same thing, and you're going to be able to share and affirm one another in that truth. You will also experience some excitement going on in your life. As you're growing in your walk with Jesus and God's word is becoming more and more clear to you, you will discover that, you know, again, I've already used some of the phrases, but you'll discover that for you, you'll say, man, I'm on fire. Man, I'm really into the word. Or, you know, there's this new commitment to, you know, gathering believers and worshiping on Sunday. If going to a church is kind of new to you, you know, this may be something fresh to you, and you're on fire for it, and you're looking forward to it each week, and you can tell God is talking to you and challenging you, and it's a new thing, and there's a sense of excitement because for you, you're realizing, wow, I'm doing something I know that I should have been doing a long time ago. You know, and you feel like you're on the right path, and you're making some good decisions, and you're excited about it, and you're excited about what God's doing in your life. And so what you start thinking is, dude, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to grab all those little invite cards. I'm going to give them away to everybody I know. They're out there on that welcome center in a box in sets of 10. Take as many as you want. But that's what's happening. You know, you get excited about stuff. And so you will also experience an experience. You will have experiences. You know, we don't spiritually grow just kind of in a vacuum. You know, you're going to be able to look back and think about that event or that moment, that experience that changed your life, you know, and it may be a good experience that you look back on. And sometimes it's very difficult experiences that wake people up. You look back and think, at the time, I hated it. I did not like it. It was not fun, but it was exactly what I needed in my life to get me where God needed me to be. Verse 36, we're told, and just as they were telling about all the stuff that had happened with walking with Jesus, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. I mean, you know, this is a Houdini kind of a thing going on, you know, in the sense of, you know, now you see me, now you don't, and boof, I'm back, you know. And of course, this is the resurrected Jesus, and he can come and go as he wants. And this, I will tell you that this experience that these two men had in Jerusalem with the whole crucifixion and all this chaos around it, the encounter walking on the road with Jesus, the having supper and doing the Lord's Supper thing with Jesus, with them, and then him appearing in front of them in that room, I want to tell you, that's going to be transformational. These two guys are not going to be the same. Now, obviously, you're not going to have the exact same kind of experiences, but God is going to allow you to experience some divine moments in your life where God definitely shows up in some way. And you're going to have to wrestle deep inside of you on what just happened and what are you going to do with it. Well, that's how you learn. That's the journey. Everyone in here today is on this journey. You are learning something. And God is trying to grab your attention, and he's teaching you along the way. If you are a believer, it's just simply say, okay, God, help me to see it, help me to apply it, help me to understand it, help me to do it. You know, I mean, it's just opening yourself up and just being obedient and submitting to him and say, God, here I am. I just need to do whatever you want me to do. Now, if this whole Jesus thing is new to you, and this whole church thing is new to you, you know, and you're not sure about all this Jesus stuff, but you got some questions. Here's what we want to do for you, okay? There is a connection card or a welcome card. It says welcome on it. Flip that thing over. You can, if you would like to talk to someone, now this is for believer and those who are just seeking. If you've got a question, you want to talk to someone about what you've heard or what's going on in your life, you just need some, you know, godly counsel, you know, we would love to just journey with you like Jesus did with these two guys. Okay, sometimes you just need to have somebody just walking along with you, just helping to explain some things, you know. You just need to have those 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes with a tutor. And God has placed spiritual coaches and spiritual tutors in your life. We have many in here at Genesis that have seen it, done it, and gone through a lot. And they have a lot of wisdom they can give you to help you on your journey. Okay? We are here for you. All right?